Welcome, everybody. My name is Jay. I am joined by Nick Mayo.
Hi, everybody.
And today we are going to talk about the state of the Croonian.
Yep.
So we want to give a little breakdown on what's coming. We have some announcements for you guys. Hopefully, some fun stuff is coming in the pipeline. Actually, not hopefully. There is fun stuff coming in the pipeline. And yeah, we want to talk about that stuff with you guys. So this is going to be, we're currently streaming this live on Twitch, but we're also going to be releasing this as, if you're listening to the Hardcast, you will be hearing this as episode 3, I believe, 3 of season 2.
Yeah.
And we also should be putting this out on YouTube. So if you're watching on YouTube,
hello.
Hi. So yeah, that's our little intro, but we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. We're mostly going to do everything in chronological order. So we got some stuff coming out in like the near-ish future, which I think you wanted to talk about first. You want to just kind of allude to a bunch of stuff that is coming, like either content-wise or, mostly content-wise. And then we're going to talk about some events that we got coming up. And we'll do some big announcements, and then at the very end of the stream, we'll do a little Q&A and see if anybody's got any questions in the chat. We're going to mostly be trying to watch that. If anybody has any questions that are pertinent or I forget anything, let us know, and we will try and bring it up. But yeah, so what do we got?
We can kick off with some things that are coming up, kind of just in general. This will be over the next several months or even a year. In regards to content, some of it sooner than later. I'm going to fire off a couple of things that we're working on. Things for us, then will ultimately benefit the community. First things first, our PDAP, our tool, aka data.derustcrew.com. If you haven't seen the tool yet, this is our matchup matrix, largely sourced by MTGO data. We're coming up with a couple updates with that very soon. We have them working locally, the changes, so we just need to tighten a few screws and it'll be out. Largely looking to add options for expanding which matchups you can see, which decks you can see, and time frame options so that you can see how did certain matchups perform in certain time periods. These are features I've been asked for a lot by the community, so we're trying to get those out ASAP. Those will probably be out, I would say, in the next couple of weeks or so. So I would say 2 to maybe 3 weeks to be certain. So stay tuned on that. data.derustcrew.com. Also coming up for the Hardcast, this isn't only going to be for season 2. This is hopefully going to be for a while, but a couple of our creative friends in the crew, Ben Gothier and Matty T, have been working on their own little project called Lore Whores. It's going to be them... How they're going to have their own Hardcast episodes. They're going to be basically them critiquing the old lore of Magic.
Or specifically the old novels, right?
Specifically the old novels. So, for example, the first couple episodes is going to be... I think they're queuing up 3 episodes soon. And they're going to be 3 episodes about the Ice Age blocks. They're not necessarily going in order. They're just kind of doing some of the books that they like. You can expect them to talk about Magic lore, talk about the characters, talk about... You make fun of the characters. Maddie's doing some like reenactments on the podcast.
Yeah,
he's really good at that. It's going to be really good content.
They've been going really hard into the editing and the theatrical elements of like doing some recordings of some readings of the books and stuff. And it sounds, I haven't actually heard any of the episodes yet, but it sounds like they are putting a lot of work into it.
Yeah.
So it should be really fun.
I think they've got 2 episodes down. They might have a third on the way, so those will be posted soon. Definitely keep your ears tuned for that one. Finally, the rest crew in general, we're working on a new logo. We're doing a rebrand, partially because, well, I don't own the rights to that logo. So we're working on a new logo, which means potentially in the future, we might even look into doing some merch. I know some people have been looking into wanting shirts, jackets, whatever, more patches, stickers. We're going to be able to make some of that stuff without having to worry about Watsy you know, performing a cease and desist or anything like that.
Yeah, not very hard, to be honest. But
no,
yeah.
It's not hard. But
we are 100% scared of Hasbro lawyers.
Yes.
So
we need a lawyer.
Yeah, we do need a lawyer.
Not
yeah.
now, but at some point.
Just, you know, potentially, that'd be a good thing to have in the crew pocket.
Right. That's it for as far as like crew updates and content updates. These are just kind of general outside of the chronological order that Jay was talking about. Do you have anything else before we move on?
No, I don't think so. I think just, PDAP updates coming soon, TM merch potentially coming soon, TM lore horrors coming soon, TM. All of that is stuff that we have in the pipeline and don't have specific dates or anything for any of it. I would say the merch is probably the furthest off of all that stuff.
Just, yeah, I mean, obviously we're going to release the Duress Crew cigarettes first.
true, when we get a Marlboro partnership. but no, the we still need to get the whole logo finalized. We are staying, this isn't a full rebrand, we are still the Duress Crew.
Yeah.
But we would like to definitely own our own logo so that, yeah, we avoid litigation.
Yep.
But with that said, I think we can move on to the first event on our timeline. I need to click a button.
Jay needs to click a button.
There we go.
Did you break something?
No, I didn't. I've never broken anything in my life.
Okay.
So the next event that we have going on is technically not our event. The DFB and Jared, I guess specifically DFB, is in charge of running the old school Lobster Con, which obviously they brought us in to help out running the pre-modern Lobster Con. And I'd say that went swimmingly, but old school we have no part in, for the most part. We don't really play old school,
right?
Other than like
we like AAA.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess that's under the old school umbrella, but
yeah.
The old school Lobster Con is coming up. Its tickets are sold out, and if you aren't already going, too bad. But one thing that DFB did ask us is if we could stream it. And I said, sure, why not? So I am pleased to announce, I think I might have accidentally spoiled this on the last episode of the Hardcast, so true Duress Crew heads will already know this, but we will be streaming the old school Lobster Con. It's going to be pretty similar to our pre-modern stream. Basically, everything that you saw and loved about the pre-modern stream will be coming back. We'll have the face cams. We'll have some sweet commentators.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully ones that know their stuff.
No promises.
No promises. Yeah, if any Duress Crew members get dragged into the booth, we might be like, although, no, I bet Brad would do fine. As long as I don't have to do commentary.
Because yeah,
I
you don't have
shit,
to.
Shit. I don't know shit about old school.
Worst case, we get Tony out there.
Exactly. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So definitely tune in. That's going to be September 12th and 13th, I believe, is the dates for old school, old school Lobster Con. And it's also a slightly different format than the pre-modern Lobster Con was. I believe they're doing the Swiss day one and then cutting to top 16, I believe. And the top 16 will be streamed the next day in the morning. So it will be Friday will be the bulk of the tournament. And then Saturday kind of morning-ish into the afternoon will be the elimination rounds.
Yep.
So that'll be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Like I said, I know nothing about old school, but I do enjoy doing these streams and it should be fun. So I hope you guys are excited and tune in.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it should be really exciting.
I'm going to try and watch as much as I can, but it is my wife's birthday. True. So.
And what more would your wife want to do on her birthday than just sit on the couch and watch old school?
Not only watch Magic, but watch Magic that even I don't understand.
Yeah, so when she's like, hey, what's happening? You're like,
that's called Misha's Workshop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. You're just pointing at like a Suchi.
Suchi, yeah.
So that will do it for old school. But the next pre-modern event that we have coming up is going to be our fall regional.
Yeah.
So what can you tell me about that?
Fall regional. It's going to be happening per usual at Great Stories in Whitensville. Whitensville. I said Whitensville the other day and somebody corrected me.
That's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, they said, no, it's Whitensville.
It is. That's true. That's
any
true.
Either way, Whitensville, Massachusetts. On November 15th, Saturday at noon. Again, November 15th, Saturday at noon. That's going to be our fall regional.
Wait, didn't we start the last one at 11?
Did I say noon?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, it's going to be at 11.
Yeah.
November 15th at 11. Thank you. We are going to do registration on October 5th. That's a Sunday. That's at noon.
Yes.
That's so I mixed noon. Up my times there.
Yes.
So again, Sunday... October 5th is when registration will open. We're going to do registration through Spice Rack like we did last time. All the goodies that you can expect from all our regionals. We're going to have, you know, charity raffle. We're going to have the consolation bracket. We're going to have some really sick prizing. We haven't settled fully on the prizing yet, but, you know, this in the range of the same stuff we've always been doing. It's going to be an awesome time. I can't wait.
Something also I guess I should just add that we are going forward. I'm pushing to standardize some things. So when it comes to registration for Dress Crew events, 100% from now on, Sundays at noon Eastern time. So I think it's a good middling spot where, like, if you're West Coast, you know, coming up for like LobsterCon or something, it's still early in the morning. If you're in Europe, it should be, you know, later in the evening, but it's not like middle of the night. So I think it's a pretty good middle time of just like, if you are looking to register for something that we are running, it's going to be on a Sunday. It's going to be at noon. So there's no like surprise drops, no, you know, out of nowhere. Hey, by the way, here's registration. We're not going to dump it on you guys. Noon EST on Sundays.
Sorry to the Catholics.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. To be fair, though, if you're going to church, you're probably not fucking with our event.
Sorry, Zoo Crew.
Magic is like the work of the devil, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. Do I have any more points about our fall regionals? I think it's mostly...
Just want to announce the dates and the registration.
Yeah. I think it's going to largely be business as usual.
Yep. Things are running great. Everyone's having a great time. Hopefully this one doesn't sell out.
Those events are...
Super, super fast, but...
Oh, actually, that's something we are potentially in talks with Great Stories that maybe, possibly in the future... This is not like an announcement because this is something we haven't. This is a wild speculation. We might be able to increase the cap another like 20 or 30 spots. So fingers crossed for that. Yeah. And other than that, I think we're good to move on. So, yeah, what did we say? October 5th.
October 5th is registration. That's Sunday at noon. And the actual event is going to be on November 15th, a Saturday at 11 a.m. at Great Stories in Whitensville, Massachusetts.
There we go. Whitensville.
Whatever.
All right. Well, let's talk about what I'm sure a lot of you are here for. LobsterCon.
Yep.
In 2026. So... 2024 and all previous years, LobsterCon has been run by DFB and Jared. and the two of them asked for some help, mostly because Jared was having a baby. I guess Jared's wife was having a baby. But they asked us to come in and help, and we did. And they are continuing to ask for our help.
Yep. Just
don't ask me why. Silly decision on their part. We have agreed, and so we're going to be helping run LobsterCon 2026. And a lot of stuff is going to get run back pretty similarly to this past year. I would say there's less changes than there are. There are less changes than there are changes.
Yeah.
But we do have some announcements and stuff for that. So I guess let's start with the biggest thing. Dates.
Dates. So LobsterCon 2026 is going to be Friday, May 1st and Saturday, May 2nd of 2026. I'm going to say that again. Friday, May 1st and Saturday, May 2nd of 2026.
Now, if the people want to register for this event,
registration is going to be open on November 2nd. Again, in line with our standard operating procedure, November 2nd, Sunday at noon. Registration is going to fill up very quickly.
Yes. It filled last year in like 3 hours or
about
something?
3 hours. So that's 300 people. Well, I think we stopped at 320. So you want to register for it? Make sure you're in line and ready Sunday, November 2nd at noon.
Yes, noon EST.
And as far as changes go, it's going to be at the Dante, like it always is. We're going to do a stream just like we did last year. I'll be running it like we did last year. Mario will be behind the bar, all that good stuff. But we had a couple changes in the tournament structure, largely driven not only from player feedback, but from organizer feedback.
Oh, yeah.
So, Jay, do you want to talk about some of that?
Yeah, so... as I'm sure a lot of you agree, a lot of us are getting old. And if you play 9 rounds of Swiss, followed by 3 rounds of Cut to Top 8, that's 12 rounds of Magic in a day, which I know there are some Zoomers, some younger attendees that might be like, that's easy.
Some people with prescriptions.
Yeah, really, just kids popping pills. But, look, I think for most of us, we'll agree that that's a long, long day. So, kind of in a similar spirit to what Old School is doing this year, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be splitting the event into a 2-day event. I still need to do a little bit of math on this, so I'm not 100% locking it in, but we're going to be doing, most likely, 8 rounds of Swiss on day one. And then cutting at 15 points, I believe. So, AKA, if you do better than five and three or better, you will make it to day two. And then day two will start on Saturday morning. They'll play an additional, most likely 3 or 4 rounds of Swiss, at which point we'll cut to top eight. So it's going to be like 11 or 12 rounds total of pre-modern in the Swiss, plus a cut to top eight. So in the end, there's going to be more Magic, which I think nobody will complain about.
No.
But it should be a lot of fun. That's going to be the main change. In addition to doing the day two, I guess, of the main event, on Saturday, the second day, we will also have a couple of side events, just as we did this past year. This past year, we ran Unchained, and we ran a vanilla side event. Originally, we also had a third side event that was going to be Fetchless Shockland?
It was going to, the Fetchless Shockland.
Didn't really work out.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of people changing around, so we're kind of taking that idea of not wanting to have a third, black sheep of a side event. We're only doing 2 side events this year, which I think should also work out well with a bunch of people still playing in the main, plus just two side events. Both side events will be capped, I believe. We don't want to have 250 people playing in one and 50 people playing in the other. So both side events will probably have a cap of around 150. I got a cat jumping all over my mic. Apologies. It is important that when you sign up for the main event, you also sign up and choose which side event you want to play in. Because just as the main event is going to fill up, these side events will fill up as well. And we are not going to allow people to be changing last minute or whatever. So that's why we're announcing it now. So you can make your decision, figure out what you want to play in, and have that locked and loaded.
Yep.
So for the side events, we will be bringing back Unchained with one big change. I pushed for this really hard, and I'm sure there's going to be a little bit of pushback maybe from certain people, and I'll address that right now. But Unchained will allow proxies for specifically the banned cards. This change is being made not as a sign of things to come when it comes to proxies. This does not mean that in 2027 we're going to be allowing proxies in the main event. That's squashing that right now. There's no slippery slope. The reason this is being done is to incentivize brewing. I think there's a ton of cool space in the Unchained format that is potentially completely untapped because people don't want to go out and buy four Yogg's-Will or four Tolarian Academies to play in one event in one side event that doesn't even have prizes. So I think that not allowing proxies specifically, again, only for the banned cards, I think it was a mistake. So I think that was what led to a lot of people realizing, hey, when it comes to the banned cards, like, I already own Force of Wills for Legacy or what have you. So I'm just going to kind of default to playing that. And I think that was why we saw a really big, heavy Dreadnought Force of Will meta. And I want to kind of push back against that. I want people to try and brew something. There were a ton of insanely cool brews that people brought to the event. And I think we can push that even further. I think there is a ton of room for creativity in this format, and I want to encourage that. So hopefully people aren't too angry about seeing a proxy across the table, but it is what it is.
Grim Monolith's expensive.
Exactly. A lot of those cards are, and I understand that. We understand that.
Yeah.
So it will be, there will be proxies allowed.
I think some of the Unchained matches last year on the stream were some of my favorite things to watch.
They were so good
the whole weekend. And, it'd be way sicker if we had people bringing way more spice and being able to do things like, oh, I'm going to run a place at a Yogg's-Will and I don't have to spend, $400 or whatever.
Exactly. The second side event, this is also something that I really pushed for. Last year, a lot of people, by far, it was the more popular side event. A lot of people played vanilla pre-modern. And I get it. You came to play pre-modern. That's what you want to do. But at the same time, I think for the side events, it should be in some ways encouraged for people to branch out, to try new things. So, because of that, this year there will not be a vanilla pre-modern side event. Instead, the side event, other than Unchained, will be what we are tepidly calling pre-modern plus. This is not, we're not trying to introduce a regional format. This is not something that is going to be a consistently recurring thing. This is a fun one-off thing just to try. For a lot of people, this is going to be exactly the same as vanilla pre-modern. If you want to just play the deck that you're playing in the main deck in the main event, by all means, you're allowed to. The only changes for pre-modern plus, as we're calling it, is that the other five fetch lands, the enemy fetches are legal. Again, we're hoping that this incentivizes brewing and opens up some creative space that people that struggle in the format. You want to play your Mystery Rainforests, your Verdant Catacombs. You want to make Dead Guy a little bit better.
Dude, Marsh Flats.
Marsh Flats, it's a pretty good one. So the only cards that are legal in Pre-Modern Plus that are not legal in Vanilla Pre-Modern, the five enemy fetches. So again, if you want to take that and run with that and try building something creative, by all means, please do. Play something cool. But if you want to just run back the same deck that you usually play, you can do that. To the people who are like, why would you do this when the vanilla pre-modern, the vanilla side event was one of the largest pre-modern events ever? Suck it, okay? Because we want to, and we want to try this, and I think it sounds cool.
It gives people a place to still play their pre-modern decks. You still want to jam whatever you want to jam. If you were a sicko who didn't make day two and you want to play Mono Blue Dreadnought, you can go do that. Or you can go play something with Marsh Flats, Verdant Catacombs. You have way more options with your mana base.
Yep.
You're not going to hard lose to Wasteland. You know, I think it'll be a really fun event.
Yeah. So this should be fun. At the end of the day, the side events are about really the whole LobsterCon is about having fun.
Yeah.
So we announced the dates, we announced the side events, we announced the tournament structure changes. Let's see, did I have anything else?
I'm all good on that.
Let's see. As far as anything else, am I missing any? I literally have in my notes, am I missing anything? Question mark. Great. I'm glad I answered good. that question. So that brings us.
So where does that leave us?
Well, that is going to be the beginning of 2026. But what about beyond 2026? What about 2027? Now, personally, I can barely even think like next week. So I hope you guys caught that.
The cat almost just crashed right into the camera.
Oh, Jesus.
Dude, we knew this was going to happen.
Oh, no. We did know this was going to happen. What's up, guys?
I told you I could put them in kitten jail.
Nah, they're adorable, and I'm sure everybody loved that.
Yeah.
Until the stream just randomly goes off.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, the stream.
Take out the camera. So this part of the stream, of the podcast, of the video, is going to be a little bit more generating feedback, because we have some ideas and we would love to announce those ideas, but we don't. We should preface all of this that nothing is set in stone. You know, like I said, I can barely keep tomorrow, you know, in my head. So, like, figuring out what's going on in 2 years is kind of a crazy thing.
Yeah.
But also, some of the shit that we're thinking about takes a long time to figure out and get going. So we are trying to get the ball moving on certain things.
Some massive FITFO effort.
Yes, that is true. So I guess we should preface this with a couple of
like maybe some setup.
Yeah, some setup to this would be that from talking to a bunch of people and just getting the general vibe of LobsterCon, I think everybody can agree that the Dante is amazing. And the Dante is an integral part of LobsterCon. And in my opinion, LobsterCon would not be what it is without the Dante. But at the same time, multiple things can be true. And it is true that we are running up against the limit of how many people we can fit in the Dante. So, like we said earlier, LobsterCon for pre-modern for 2025 sold out in about 3 hours. I'm sure that 2026 is going to sell out just as fast, if not faster. And that kind of leads us to the idea that, so, well, first off, pre-modern is growing. I mean, the LobsterCon, since I've been going the past, 3 years or whatever, it was like, 180, then 230, then 290, roughly.
Yep.
And, you know, going 3 years prior to that, I mean, you were, for pre-modern, you were talking, you know.
The first one I went to was 109 people.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's largely, and a couple of years prior to that, it was like 30 people or whatever, you know. It has been going pretty parabolic in terms of interest. I mean, you can also look at our regional events that, you know, our first one a little like a year and a half ago, year and three to be. And I don't like that. So we are potentially thinking about running an event sometime in 2027 that would, with the blessing of both Jared and DFB, inherit the title of North American Pre-Modern Champs. So LobsterCon would still exist, but this new event would be the champs, the championship. And we are eyeing a couple of potential venues. We aren't even technically limited to staying in Boston, although on one hand, Boston is a fantastic, it's got Logan, it's an amazing travel hub. It's probably one of the easiest cities to get to if you're coming from overseas in Europe. It's overall a fantastic city. It is also fucking expensive.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, the Dante gets us an amazing deal. Like, basically pocket change is what we pay them, because they know that it's still one of their best weekends of the year. They're able to sell a ton of booze to everybody, and also they know that it's going to a good cause. Looking for event space in Boston is insanely expensive. So the event would almost certainly still be for charity, but it would be, I'm not really sure at the end of the day. I hope we would be able to break even.
Right.
You know, I looking at event space in Boston, we're looking at anywhere from most likely $30,000 to $50,000 for a couple of days.
Yeah.
For an event space that can hold, you know, 500, 600 people. It's fucking expensive. It's insane. I haven't personally, at least, given up on the idea that maybe, you know, it might be worth looking into like a Providence, or even somewhere, some other city, Hartford, I don't know, just to see if we can get a cheaper venue. But there are also some other locations. There's especially one location in Boston that I think would just be
right.
Perfect.
Be phenomenal.
We definitely want feedback.
Handle, what kind of capacity we have, what kind of effort, funds, all that stuff. We need the feedback from the community. I'll be sharing the form out amongst Discord, Twitter, Blue Sky, wherever. If you want it and you don't know where it is, ping me. I'll send it to you. This is not an open invite for you to message random people in Duress Crew and say, oh, I want this or I want that, or I would do this or that's not going to fly. Do the form. If you don't do the form, your voice doesn't count. Straight up. So please do so, because we're trying to see, we're doing this as an exploratory option, just so we can hear what people want. I know people who won't go to LobsterCon unless it's at the Dante, won't go to LobsterCon unless it's in a certain region, won't go if it's a certain cost, or, you know, there's all these considerations that happen when you're considering an event. The idea is it would be pretty much structured, very much like what we have today, or more like what we're going to do in 2026. But again, we're looking at the idea of having bigger venues, which means, you know, more people, more events, more vendors, more artists, all that cool stuff, and really putting pre-modern on the map.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think that's a fantastic way of putting it. It's like, this would be probably closer to, like, well, ideally, this would be closer to, like, a GP than LobsterCon.
Okay.
I think it would still, well, I don't want to say, well, no, that's probably not true. It would still have.
This is all speculation.
Yeah, this is all speculation. And it would still have the vibes of being a community-run event. Like, we are still, I mean, I would have to imagine that it would be one of the largest player-run tournaments, like, ever. And that's the goal, is pre-modern is growing, and we want everybody to be able to play it. And we want to show people how awesome it is. So to be able to run some kind of destination event that doesn't have the cap that we have with LobsterCon, that's ultimately the plan. Or at least the goal, I should say. Addressing at least just one question I saw in chat of why not both. LobsterCon wouldn't be going anywhere. But right. I think for our own sanity, that Duress Crew would prefer, like, we would still help out, but we don't want to be running two big events in a year. So I think the idea would be to, for us to kind of take a step back from LobsterCon in 2027, assuming that this whole plan pans out, and focusing more of our efforts on this.
Right. It's important to know, I'm sure most of the people watching this know this, but it's important to note that LobsterCon has always been an old school event first and a pre-modern event second. Pre-modern started off as a side event there, and it just was really popular, and then it just kind of took off from there. So the idea of separating isn't, you know, that crazy, but at the same time, you know, people have an attachment to what we've been doing, what DFE's been doing. So that's kind of why we're talking about all this.
Yeah, for sure. So
did we want to just, I think that's basically all we have for that.
I think so. As I've been calling it, this is GP TBD.
Yeah.
So that is that's kind of my affectionate term for it so far. Did you have anything else, or do we want to move into a Q&A?
I think we just move into Q&A, and then we have a couple event shout outs, and we'll go from there.
All right. And chat, this is where we turn it over to you. And for anybody that's listening on the Hardcast or watching on YouTube, fuck you.
Because we'll read the question out.
Obviously we'll read the question out, but I'm just saying that, like, they don't, you know, they're living in the future.
They don't get a voice.
They don't get a voice. They don't get to ask anything. Is it difficult being fashion icons in the pre-modern community? Honestly, it is really difficult being this beautiful. That's just, I'll leave it at that.
All right. Do the swords have names? So for people listening, I have two swords behind me on the stream. They probably do. They're the swords from Conan. I have Conan's father's sword. We also have Brad's sword, which is Conan's sword proper. They probably have names, but I don't know them.
New profile picture retained.
First off, how dare you? Whatever, Impulse Crew.
We mug you.
Will proxies be allowed for enemy fetches? That's a great question.
I'm inclined to say no. Suck it up and pay the $15 or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they're playable in other formats. Like, this isn't like buying a Yogswell once or something.
Here's the thing. We had a lot of discussion. There was a lot of pushback internally amongst the crew regarding proxies or allowing proxies for the banned cards. And some crew members made the good point that, like, having to borrow cards or, you know, acquire cards for a deck that you need for an event is, in a way, community building.
Mm-hmm.
And to some extent, I agree. And I think if you're like, hey, guys, I need four Tolarian Academies.
That's a little different.
It's a little bit different. In short, because I don't know if I know anybody that has four Tolarian Academies.
Right.
Why would you?
Why? There's no reason to.
Yeah, exactly. There's just straight up no reason. But I think for something much, much smaller, like enemy fetches, it is true. I think that, like, if anybody's coming to LobsterCon next year and is like, hey, I don't own Misty Rainforests, reach out. Honestly, I got them. I play other formats. I'll loan fetches to anybody who needs them.
If you need Verdant Catacombs, hit your boy up.
Yeah. And only Verdant
Only Verdant Catacombs, though, because I'm a sicko.
I don't play any of them.
I don't play any other fetches. will black decks be allowed at LobsterCon? No.
No. They're banned.
No comment. Any proxies for regionals, monthlies? No, we do not do proxies at the regionals or monthlies. We do allow gold border cards. Those are perfectly fine. And at our weeklies, which are also at Great Stories, those are proxy friendly if you ever want to come try something out.
Would we ever be interested in organizing large scale webcam tournaments? I think basically everybody in the crew, except for like two of us, is extremely anti-webcam. Like, I personally don't mind webcam, or at least playing it. I think organizing it sounds absolutely miserable, though.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Having played in some of the, like, the monthlies and stuff, sometimes, I think everybody can agree with this, that, like, tracking down, you know, and making arrangements for actually getting to play your opponent is pretty annoying. So now imagine having to, like, track down an entire tournament.
No thanks.
To be like, yeah, it, no. I that's Sorry. Not something I really like want to touch. Headache.
Would it be possible to get a team unified pre-modern side event in the future? Definitely possible.
Definitely possible.
I'm going to one next weekend.
ELD. Yeah. So ELD is actually running. If you're in the Massachusetts area, is it already sold out? Or I know spots were limited.
Oh, I hope it's not sold out. I haven't registered.
Well. If you're in the Massachusetts area, there is a Team Unified tournament at ELD's Time Vault Games in Bellingham, Massachusetts. Yep. Team Unified Pre-Modern, and that is on September 30th. So definitely check that out. It's definitely something we would consider doing in the future. Personally, I'm more interested in team trios of like three different formats. Preferably three fake formats.
Preferably vintage.
Just kidding.
That format's great right now.
Vintage is great. I think a popper seat would be really fun.
Yeah.
I think popper and pre-modern would go like really well together.
I think it just depends on where all the formats are at any given time, right?
Yeah, and I think three format trios is personally more interesting than like team unified. But again, team events are super fun. I'm always down to run them. Currently not in the cards for next year's LobsterCon, but moving beyond that, I think it's definitely something we would consider doing.
Realistic, dead serious, not wild spec pilled opinions on the ban list. I want to hear you first.
Okay, so my opinion is largely based on... So, I know a lot of pre-modern players aren't going to get this reference because they focus specifically on pre-modern, and that's totally fine. But I tend to try and like keep abreast of all the different formats. Standard right now. Standard is in a pretty miserable place. The recent Arena Championship that just happened, the top deck in the meta represented, I believe, 56% of the, like, I mean, it was only like a 32 player tournament or something, but still, it was over half the tournament. It was seven of the top eight. And this happened after about 2 months ago, they banned 7 cards out of Standard.
I knew you would find a way to talk about Standard.
I think it's a very interesting case where people didn't like the format. There were certain things that were too strong, and they banned literally everything, and still a deck was just like the best deck. Now, you can make an argument that a lot of that comes down to current modern power level of cards and how just like broken certain things are, and just how a lot of that goes into design philosophy as opposed to, so in a way it's not applicable to pre-modern. But I think a lot of it also has to do with just like where we are in the world now with proliferation of information. People tend to just copy decks. People look at deck lists, they look at what won. There's not as much, you know, figuring stuff out on your own as there was 20 years ago. So I'm of the belief that if something gets banned out of pre-modern, I don't think it fixes, I don't think the format magically becomes what the people who are calling for bans want it to be. Because you can look at any pre-modern tournament, this format is already one of the healthiest formats just in Magic the Gathering overall. The format diversity is insane.
Oh, yeah.
Are there some decks that have unfun play patterns? Sure. Are there some decks that are winning potentially more than they should be in a perfect meta? Sure. However, I don't think that any single ban fixes that. I think you're still going to have decks that people find unfun. I think you're still going to, there's always going to be a best deck. That's just a true fact.
Right.
Now, metagames can rotate, and we've seen over just the past year, 4 or 5 decks that people claimed were the best deck, and then people learned to tech against them, and it worked out.
Yeah.
I think potentially an unban could happen, and I think I am far, far, far more in favor of an unban than a ban.
Wow.
Scene.
Wow. Holy smokes. Well, I'm going to answer without talking about a format that you don't care about. So, unbiased opinion. If you were like, Nick, gun to your head, you have to unban a card, Tendrils. I think it would be annoying, but I think it's probably fine. And if gun to my head, I had to ban something, Dreadnought, but I wouldn't do both at the same time. One or the other, in that case. Yeah. That's basically it. The only reasoning, I can see an argument for Dreadnought mostly because there are like fast wins in the format. But Dreadnought is one of the only ones that can present a like, I win and there's not literally nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that doesn't happen a lot in this format. There's usually one of the beauties of the format is interaction. So I could see an argument for that. I don't think about this night and day, though. I think things are totally fine. I think things could stay the same, and I'd be totally cool with it.
Yeah.
Let's see. There were a lot of messages during that. What is the duress crew cigarette of choice? American spirits of various colors, typically light blue.
I'm drug free and
Jay doesn't. Yeah. Well, neither of us smoke cigarettes. Well, actually.
Yeah,
we do, but we have a lot of people who do.
I follow the DARE methodology of, you know, drugs are bad.
Yeah, Jay's straight edge.
Yeah, I'm actually straight edge, 100%.
Any thoughts on incorporating crew battles formally or informally for the next LC? Specifically, we could do an OST versus DXC something. That sounds great. That sounds fun.
I think my view on crew battles and that kind of stuff is...
That's like off-site stuff, though. You know, that's not like at the tournament.
I think it's more engaging as like a content kind of thing. As like, you know, we're going to film a YouTube video or something like that. I think that for like LobsterCon stuff, it could end up being a little like... I don't want to create like a cool kids club vibe where it's like, oh well, you know, I'm just getting into pre-modern or whatever, or I don't have a local crew, and like feeling like you're left out of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so maybe it's something we could do like off-site thing, stream it or something. That could be fun. Are you both straight edge? Couldn't figure out who said it. No, pandas. Neither of us are actually straight edge. I was making a joke.
Yeah, I apologize.
I used to be straight edge, but I'm not anymore.
I didn't have the slash S at the end of my comment.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a good idea, Bryce. So I didn't read this one out, but I'll read it out now. Add crew affiliation to registration form, and you can track it for coverage, which I think is kind of...
That is actually kind of cool.
I think that'd be a cool idea if we put that on stream. I think one of the coolest matches we had at LobsterCon 25 was when we had Javier play against... I can't remember who, but he played against his teammate.
Yeah, the teammate.
And it was that was a really cool match. Okay, I think that's it for questions. What's the cat's name? That cat is Randy. He's very friendly. Okay. So I think that basically wraps it up for Q&A. We have a couple shout-outs to make. And then we'll wrap up here. So I'll run through those real quick. Even though Carl said, first off, how dare you to me, mm-hmm. I'm going to give a shout out to the Impulse Crew event on October 4th in Binghamton, New York. Please go attend it. We know it's a week before Eternal Weekend, but if you have infinite wife credit or you don't need wife credit, you should definitely go.
Let's go.
It's going to be sick. I would be there. I don't have infinite wife credit. there's a shared discovery event going on at the end of this month, the Peach Ball down in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Hi, Randy. And the day after that on August 31st. So the Peach Ball is on August 30th in Lawrenceville, Georgia. And the day after on August 31st is the Southeast Pre-Modern Champs in Atlanta. Gen X Gaming has a Winamox event also on the same day, August 31st in Newington, New Hampshire. It's in the mall. It's a cool store. I think there's only like there's less than 10 spots left on that one, so make sure you go register for that if you haven't already. There's an event from our frenemies in Zoo Crew at the Webway store, the new Webway store, because they are moving, but they are still in Marlboro, and it's going to be October 25th, again, Marlboro, Massachusetts. And then, again, reminder, coming up in a couple weeks, September 9th. September 12th and 13th, Old School Lobster Con. Please tune into our stream. We're going to be streaming some old school, talking with some of the figureheads of the old school community. You know, maybe we'll make Jay do commentary where he doesn't want to do commentary and get a layman's sense of what old school's like. And that's it. Call it.
All right. So, apologies to everybody who just got ads ran on them on Twitch.
Oh my god, yeah, right in the middle of the shoutouts.
Right in the middle of the shoutouts.
Oh, you're awful.
Yeah, it's because I wasn't controlling it.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna tell Phil.
Yeah.
You ran an ad during his shoutout. He's gonna be pissed.
Oh, so it's okay though. We will, after we wrap up, we can recap all of the shoutouts. But I think that is going to do it for this year's State of the Crewnion.
A lot of information,
a lot of announcements. We will have any links to like the forum and the other stuff, as well as the major dates are going to be in the show notes and or video description if you're watching this on YouTube or listening to the hardcast on your audio platform of choice. But that's gonna do it for us. We'll hang around. If you're watching on Twitch, we're gonna hang around for a little bit longer. We'll just yap for a bit. But I think that will do it for this episode. So signing off, y'all. Adios.
Good night. Thanks, y'all. Appreciate you.
And have a good one. I love you.
Don't have a good one.
Okay, well, fuck me then. Peace.